Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Reverend Jack Tillman, International Student Counselor at BJU. The title of his message is, What Doth the Lord Our God Require of Us? The text is from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13.
Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 10, while you're turning. Last summer I had the privilege of preaching in a five-day revival service. I was the last speaker on the fifth day. I preached from this text. The timeout choir was the special music. And one of the young ladies, after the service, she said to me, Mr. Tillman, the next time you speak in chapel, would you preach this message? And I prayed much about it, and I trust that this is what the Lord would have for us today. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, as we look together in Thy Word, may Thy Spirit quiet our hearts and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. We read, And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. I realize that this was given first to Israel. It says, And now, Israel. But God has, because of their sin, grafted in another branch, the Gentile branch, the church. And I believe that these words are to us as well as they were to Israel. And I would have you note that what God asks of us, He says in the last words of the 13th verse, for thy good. Whatever God asks of us, it is for our good. Before we look at these things that He asks of us, however, perhaps we ought to look and see who is it that is asking these things. In verse 14, He is revealed as the Creator and the Possessor of heaven and earth. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. In verse 15, He is revealed as the God who has chosen us for Himself. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. In verse 17, He is revealed as the Sovereign Lord. As you follow, I want to add a word in this verse. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty God, and a terrible God, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. In verse 18, He is revealed as the universal provider. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widows, loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. And verses 19 to 21, He is revealed as our Redeemer. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. He redeemed Israel from Egypt. He has redeemed us, his children, the believer, from sin. What doth the Lord our God require of us? I want to personalize it. What doth the Lord our God require of you? What doth the Lord our God require of me? I believe if these words are true words and need to be heeded, then we need each of us to ask ourselves that question. What does the Lord require of me, His child? First of all, you note it says, but to fear the Lord thy God. To fear the Lord thy God. Does that mean that we are to be afraid of Him as a servant would be afraid of his master? Not at all. We have a different relationship in Romans, the 8th chapter, and in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a prime example of what it means to fear God in the book of Genesis, familiar story, Genesis chapter 22. This is the incident of Abraham being asked of God to go and offer his son Isaac, the son of promise, the son of the covenant. The scripture tells us that early in the morning, Abraham arose and took the servants, took a donkey upon which he placed the wood and the fire, and he took his son Isaac, and they traveled to the mount. There he left the donkey, there he left the servant, took Isaac upon that mountain, built an altar, laid his son, his only son, on that altar. The scripture says he took a knife. But we read in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. That thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. To fear the Lord means to trust Him. And young people, this is one of the things that the God of heaven asks of you and asks of me. Do you trust me? It's for our good, remember? What doth the Lord our God require of you? To fear the Lord thy God. To walk in all His ways. To walk in all His ways. This goes contrary to the day in which we live. The philosophy of today seems to be, do your own thing. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that seems to be the philosophy of man today. I'm going to do my own thing. I think if they would be honest, or if you would say that and you would be honest with yourself, you would have to say, I'm going to sin. You can't tell me not to. But God says here to walk in all His way. I would ask you a question this morning. Have you ever given up your own way to go God's way? In verse 16 of our text, it says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be ye no more stiff-necked. Circumcision here indicates separation and submission. And God is asking us for our own good to walk in all His ways. The psalmist has much to say about the ways of the Lord. Just a couple of passages in Psalm 18 and verse 30. Psalm 18 and verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. In the 145th Psalm, Psalm 145 and verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways. In the 27th Psalm and verse 11, teach me Thy way, O Lord. That's a prayer that each one of us could utter every day of our lives. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. What doth the Lord our God require of us? To trust Him? To walk in all His ways? And thirdly, it says, to love Him. To love Him. It does not say that we are to love His service, though we should. It does not say that we should love His church, though we should. It does not even say that we should love truth, though we should. But rather it says that we are to love Him. There's a very well-known story in the last chapter of John's Gospel where our Lord takes Simon aside. And in John chapter 21 and verse 15, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these? Lovest thou Me more than all this that's around about you? Dr. Bob Jr. preached a wonderful sermon that I heard on more than one occasion on those little words, lovest thou Me more than these? And he described some of the things that Peter would have loved. He was a fisherman. And he had a boat and a net. This was his livelihood. But our Lord had one day said to him, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Simon, do you love Me more than these? I wonder if the Lord could be asking this question to some of you. Do you love Me more than... And you fill in the blank. What doth the Lord our God require of us? To fear the Lord? To walk in all His ways? To love Him? And then it says, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. In Romans chapter 12, we have this plea from the lips of the Apostle Paul, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Apostle Paul is saying, I beg of you, I'm pleading with you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There was a preacher in England at the turn of the century that had preached on this text. There was a little lad sitting on the third row, about the second seat in, that had listened very intently to his pastor's sermon that morning. In that particular church, the custom was to take the offering after the message. I suppose if you liked the message, you put more in. I don't know. Normally, after the ushers came, the pastor left the pulpit and went back and sat down. But that day, for some reason, he stood at the pulpit and watched as the offering was being taken. Made some people nervous. I don't know why. They should have been giving to God, not to the preacher. But he noticed a very unusual thing. That little boy that had listened so very intently, looking at the pastor with those eyes, never taking them off the face. When the offering plate was passed, he took it and for a moment he looked at it. And then he set it down on the floor and he stepped into it and stepped out of it and picked it up and handed it on. After the service, The pastor stopped him as he was going out. And he said, "Son, I saw what you did. Why? Why did you do it?" And the little fellow said, "Pastor, I didn't have any money. I just wanted to give my body to Jesus." And he gave more that day, perhaps, than any who put a check or a coin in that plate. What doth the Lord our God require of you? What doth the Lord our God require of me? To trust Him? To walk in all His ways? To love Him? To serve the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul? And then it says to keep the commandments of our Lord. To keep the commandments of our Lord. This should be our chief desire. This should be our greatest concern, our greatest mission in life, to keep the commandments of the Lord. Oh, I'm not speaking of just the Ten Commandments. I'm speaking of this book and all that is written therein. In John's Gospel again, the 14th chapter this time. In John chapter 14 and verse 21, we read these words. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Many of us, I'm afraid, read it that "he that hath my commandments love him." That's not true. All of us, and I'm sure every one of you, have a Bible. I was just thinking how many Bibles that I have, and I probably have a dozen or more. I have a hard time throwing away old Bibles. I still have one in my office that I carried as a teenager. In that flyleaf of that, I have the signature of men of God who made an impact in my life as a teenager. Dr. Bob Sr.'s signature is there. The man who led me to the Lord is there. And a number of others. The Bible still is in pretty good condition. But I don't carry it. Primarily because the print has shrunk. And I have a difficult time reading it. So I carry one with a little larger print. So I can read it easier. But it's not that we have the Bible. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Do you love Him? There's a way to prove it. And it's revealed in those words. But you know, if we love Him, I hope it would never, ever be said of any one of us. Some of the saddest words, I think, recorded in all the Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29. "Jesus answered, said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." There is not a one of us sitting here in this room today who will ever be able to stand before our Maker and say, "I didn't know." We have the Word of God. There may be those out in the world, yes, behind the iron curtain and such, that may be able to plead ignorance because they do not have the Word of God. But you'll not be able to do, and I'll not be able to do. And Jesus said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures." What doth the Lord, our God, require of you, require of me? To fear Him, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord our God, and finally to keep the commandments of our Lord. And it is for our good. This question is asked again in Micah, the 6th chapter, and verse 8. We read, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee?" Notice three things: but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord requires certain things of us, young people. Every one of us will one day give an account. Shall we stand? Bow our heads. Our Father, in the quietness of this hour, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. If there's something there that we need to get right with Thee, we pray that it might be done even this day. So that when we know one day we'll stand before Him to give an account, it's for our good that we'll be able to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Jack Tillman, International Student Counselor at BJU. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $7 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.